Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Let's get to the docket. First, Alex Murdoch wants to go home. Meet the new judge in the Barry Morphy matter. Ghislaine Maxwell, she should get a new trial. Lori Vallow, well, Mark Means, you've been silenced. Put this video in the WTF file. Then we have a story from the Crime Talk International news desk. And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. Now, if you haven't done so already, hit that subscribe button. Don't forget to hit that little bell so that you receive notifications when we go live or put up new content. Now, you may be saying, Scott, what is wrong with your voice? Well, I don't know. I've got some sort of crud in my throat. Now, people probably say, oh, you must have the vid. I don't. I've been tested negative. I think it's just a cold. Probably picked something up in Las Vegas, but I'm fine. I just have this deep, sexy radio voice, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, I apologize for the voice. Also, yesterday, you noticed we didn't do a show. What happened? I wasn't sick. The day just got away from me. It was just a very busy, busy day. So fortunately, Frank was able to put up our video of when we went to Las Vegas. Hope you enjoyed it. As I told him today, I said, man, I forgot to give you the stuff on my phone because we also went to the Las Vegas Knights hockey game, and I had a video from the concert and the pre-concert show as well. So it was just a crazy day yesterday. We'll get back on track here starting now. Let's get to it. First, Alex Murdoch, you know, the disgraced attorney down there in South Carolina. Well, he's got some pretty powerful and expensive attorneys. And he's now stating again that he can't make that $7 million bond that was put in place by the court. In fact, they're arguing that the $7 million bond set by Judge Allison Lee last month is tantamount to a no bond hold at all. And they're stating that that basically is a violation of his constitutional rights because everybody has a right to a bond unless it is a capital offense. The attorneys go on to say that he has less than $10,000 in his bank accounts and that Mr. Murdoch cannot even pay his phone bill. Well, he should pay that phone bill out of the $10,000. And it probably costs the attorneys a few thousand dollars to draft that motion. So I'm not exactly sure who is paying Mr. Murdoch's attorney's bills. But let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, we've talked about this before. There are two things that the court has to consider when they're setting a bond. One, danger to the community, and flight risk. Let's face it, Alex Murdoch has a slew of criminal cases pending, not to mention a bunch of civil cases. And there's word that there's going to be a lot more, both criminal and civil cases coming down the road. And then, is he a flight risk? Well, he tried to fake his own death or have somebody kill him, I guess. Whatever the plan was, it was botched. The reality of it is he is a danger to the community because someone like Alex Murdoch doesn't just one day change all his spots and say, I'm going to stop swindling my clients and everyone else out of their money and do the right and honest thing. That's simply not going to happen. He owes a lot of money. He's going to owe a lot more money. And the only way this guy's going to be able to, well, make more money is to get it from somebody else. And how is he going to do that? More than likely swindle them if he is out of custody. So the bond should remain at $7 million. And when new cases come down, guess what? Those bonds should be increased as well. Now, there is some reporting, and I'm always skeptical until something actually happens, but there's some reporting out there that there's been some physical evidence that tied Alex Murdoch to the death of his wife and his son. Now, obviously, we give him the presumption of innocence, and there's been no charges filed whatsoever, but apparently it's reported that one of the guns was a gun that was from the house, i.e. Alex Murdoch's own gun. So we'll have to see if any charges have been filed. Nothing as of yet, but as I have stated before, I think that he will, in fact, have many, many more cases. And there's going to be more indictments coming down with the alleged co-conspirators. Yeah, that's right. Fellow attorneys and bankers that helped him pull off his little scheme. Next on the docket, Barry Morphew. As you may recall, Barry Morphew, through his attorneys, asked that Judge Murphy recuse himself from the case because Barry Morphew had a girlfriend, and Barry Morphew's girlfriend was represented by a law firm that has as a partner an attorney that's good friends with the judge. And the judge says, fine, you can do that. Well, guess what? The new judge has been appointed by the Chief Justice of the Colorado Supreme Court, and his name is Judge Ramsey L. Lama, L-A-M-A. I will tell you, I've never met Mr. or Judge Lama. I've never appeared before Judge Lama. What I do know is that he was appointed a district court judge in the 11th Judicial District back in January of 2016. And prior to his appointment, he was an attorney focused on criminal defense. Prior to forming his own firm, Judge Lama worked for the Office of the Colorado State Public Defender in its Salida and Grand Junction office. Now, Judge Lama received his undergraduate degree from Aquinas College in 2004 and his law degree from Cleveland Marshall College of Law in 2008. Now, as I stated, I do not know this judge, but I'm assuming this is one of the biggest cases that has dropped into his courtroom, or at least Judge Murphy's courtroom now, but it's now his courtroom, in his career. I'm sure he's going to take it rather seriously, but the judge has already set the law of the case. The case is going forward. It's not like they're going to revisit anything that's happened up to this point. It's going to depend on the motions hearing shortly here in the next several weeks, and then ultimately a trial date. We'll see how Judge Lama does on the bench, and we'll see if it was a good move for the defense to ask that Judge Murphy be recused, or should they have kept him? I guess we'll only have to wait and see. And next on the docket, Ghislaine Maxwell, right? She got convicted of those four of the five counts of basically trafficking in regards to young girls. Well, guess what? I think she may get a new trial, and let me tell you why. So a juror in the trial, Ghislaine Maxwell, a guy by the name of Scotty David. He was juror number 50. And some news agencies are not reporting his name, and I'm not sure why, because, well, he gave an interview with the Daily Mail shortly after jury service was done. And he told the reporters that he was sexually abused as a child and that basically he had to convince the other jurors that the victims who testified, well, that their memories weren't that bad, and that's normal, because he said in his own experience he could remember some things rather vividly and that some things could not be remembered, and therefore that was just part of the trauma process as it was in his trauma process. That creates a whole lot of problems, okay? Why, you might say that? The prosecution has called for a hearing. They've also asked if the juror would like a defense attorney at his own expense. Right? Why? Well, he doesn't want a court-appointed lawyer because he has retained his own, all right? The significance is Ghislaine Maxwell is going to ask for a new trial. And you say, well, didn't all 12 jurors deliberate and find her guilty? Yes, they did. But guess what? We've talked about this before, ladies and gentlemen. Voir dire. It is one of the most important parts of a trial. It is won or lost in that process. And one of the things for there to be effective voir dire, and it means to speak the truth, to tell the truth, is that jurors have to be honest with them. Now, in this particular case, Ghislaine Maxwell, there was reportedly a very thick, I think it's up to 50 questions on a questionnaire. And I assure you, one of the questions was, have you or anyone you know been a victim of a sexual assault? Guess what? Literally an automatic qualifier. Just like if you're on a homicide case and your close family member had been a victim of a homicide, guess what? You're not going to be on that jury. Why, you might ask? Because there's a pretty reasonable belief that if people are similarly situated, that they are in fact going to become advocates and maybe try to seek justice for the people here because maybe they didn't get it in their own case. Doesn't mean they wouldn't be a good juror, but they probably shouldn't be on this jury. And that's what it appears is this juror did. He brought in his own personal life experiences and tried to use that to persuade other jurors that the experts and the testimony should not be believed. Well, guess what? That wasn't evidence that was presented at trial. If that juror wanted to present his life experiences, guess what? He should have been called as an expert. So the juror stated that he doesn't recall answering any questions about being abused in any way. My understanding is that there are now probably two jurors that were similarly situated. And guess what? It appears as though they were not honest on their questionnaires from the information that I have received. And they did not outline or state that they had a history of sexual abuse. Now you may say, Scott, maybe the attorneys didn't ask the right questions. It's on a questionnaire, real straightforward. And I assure you, somebody in that voir dire process would have said, if there's anything you think we need to know, now would be it. It's kind of like that case, Scott Peterson, the juror who'd been a victim of a very similar situation, didn't disclose it, writes a book about it. I think he's going to get a new trial too. You may ask yourself, well, why does this juror need an attorney? Well, guess what? The juror, when they're asked to tell the truth, they do so under oath. That's right. They do so under oath. And so in theory, one could face perjury charges. I, on the other hand, if we're the judge, based upon what we know thus far, I would issue an order to show cause why this juror should not be held in contempt, right? And if he is in fact found in contempt, I would possibly jail him, and I would also impose sanctions, which would include attorney's fees that were spent by Ghislaine Maxwell and any costs for the government as well, because if they have to redo this trial, it's all because of this juror. I would throw the book at him because we don't need jurors who are trying to get on a jury to be an advocate for one side or the other. Their job is to make a decision with neither passion nor prejudice as to the facts and the law. And guess what? It completely undermines a true, fair judicial process when somebody is on there with their own hidden agenda. Throw the book at them. All right. How about Lori Vallow? Well, she was able to listen in by phone for a hearing that took place yesterday. We brought it to you live on Crime Talk, and you can take a look at that here if you'd like to as well. But anyway, the prosecutors, they requested this hearing to clarify a 2021 sealed court order on the release of discovery information by those with access to it. And prosecutors were specifically concerned about discovery or evidence in the case being inappropriately discussed or shared by Lori Vallow's now former attorney, Mr. Mark Means. They said that there is an ongoing concern that privileged information and documents could be disclosed to third parties and or the public. Now, the prosecutors, stated this in their motion, and they requested it at the hearing as well. As you may recall, former counsel Mark Means, without discussion with counsel Jim Archibald, filed motions publicly discussing confidential information related to Lori Vallow. So, the prosecutor in that case argued and asked that the court clarify the court order and make sure that it still applied to Mr. Means, even though he was removed from the case. If it did not, then they wanted it expanded. Now, the judge, Judge Boyce, in this particular case, asked if they were seeking basically a gag order, and they said that they were not. Now, Mr. Archibald, Lori Vallow's attorney, objected to the motion on the grounds that Mark Means hadn't been notified of the hearing and would not be allowed to speak. He stated that it was, in fact, unfair to put an order on him when he's not a party to this case. Mr. Archibald also expressed concern that the order, as it stood now, may have prevented him from sharing the discovery even with his own client, Lori Vallow, because he wanted to show the grand jury transcripts to his client. The judge clarified that he could, in fact, share those with his client, but Mr. Means would be subject to the order and he cannot disclose confidential information. That goes without saying. Now, what is a protective order? Okay, a protective order is really an order by the court saying that you cannot disseminate, and it's normally grand jury information, or it's information like witnesses' names, address, phone numbers, where there's a legitimate concern as to the safety of a witness. It's not uncommon to have a protective order basically saying, hey, me as the attorney am going to assure that only, you know, my staff, my legal team working on this case, including investigators, experts, can look at this information for the presentation of a defense. But we either have to, A, not disclose it, and B, give it back at the end of the case. So it's not uncommon, and guess what? Even if you get off the case like Mr. Means did, you're still going to be subject to the protective order that you signed when you were on the case or that you were aware of on the case. So really, it's not a big deal. All right, let's take a look at this next story. All right, this goes in the WTF file, and I mean that. This makes no sense to me. A Florida man attempted to strangle a woman at a Miami bus stop with a shoelace in an attack near the airport. Aaron Quinones has been charged with felony attempted murder after he allegedly tried to strangle an unidentified woman at a bus stop near the Miami International Airport on January 2nd. So the woman, who appeared to be on her phone and had luggage sitting beside her, appears to have been aware that Quinones was there when he attacked. Now, this video footage shows Quinones, who appears to be going to or from the airport, as he had a neck pillow resting on his backpack. He quietly walked up behind her before tentatively stretching his arms out to wrap this makeshift noose around her neck. The woman looks back at him while he tightens his hold on her, dragging her to the side onto the bench as he climbs over her. The pair grappled for a moment before Quinones repeatedly punched the woman in the face as she kicks her attacker away. The woman is saved by a bystander wearing a green t-shirt who approached the pair waving his arms before he pulls Quinones off of her before the video cuts out. Now the woman looks back at him while he tightens his hold on her, dragging her to the side of the bench as he climbed over her. The bystander left the scene before the police arrived, and now the authorities are asking for the public's help in trying to identify him. The investigation is ongoing, and there's absolutely no motive for the attack. He's being held in custody on a $250,000 bond. Now this is just scary, ladies and gentlemen. This is a complete random act of violence, at least as far as we know right now. And this woman was doing nothing wrong. It just shows you how quickly things can happen. Now, let's talk about this for real quick. First, I hope that this person is suffering from some sort of mental illness, okay? And why do you say that? Well, at least that will give the victim some understanding as to why this took place. Because I've had cases like this where literally somebody has just been attacked for no apparent reason, and they just didn't know why. Was it because where they worked? What did they do? They just didn't know. So maybe if it was some sort of mental health issue, it will help explain that. Certainly doesn't excuse it. Maybe that's the case, because if this person doesn't have a mental health issue, guess what? He is just dangerous, 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 and scary. So you have to always be on the lookout, ladies and gentlemen. How many times have I said it? Be aware of your surroundings, and if something happens, scream like hell, fight like hell, all right? These individuals that attack people like this, they don't want any trouble. So if you fight back, yell and scream like hell, it increases your chances of basically you being rescued or released in some way. So, all right, let's take a quick recess.
Please. Go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did.
All right, next on the docket, a story from the Crime Talk International desk. When police arrested Giacchino Gamino, one of Italy's most wanted mafia fugitives in a Madrid suburb last week, he asked how on earth they found him. Did somebody rat him out, or did he eventually leave a clue? Well, Gamino insisted he had not called his family for more than a decade and had been living under a false name. "We saw you on Google Maps," that's what the police told him. They then showed him a fuzzy photo of himself standing outside a greengrocer store in 2018. Now, Gamino, 61, had escaped from Rome's Rebibbia prison in 2002 and had been living under various names since. Most recently, he went by the name of Manu, M-A-N-U, and was married. He and his wife ran a series of businesses, including a hair salon, a restaurant, and a vegetable shop. Now, Gamino was a member of the Sicilian Costa Nostra clan and was serving a life sentence for murder, drug trafficking, and mafia collusion when he escaped from prison during the filming of a movie. He was first arrested in 1984 and had been in and out of jail under his conviction for murder in 1998. An anti-mafia investigator who had a suspicion he might be living in the town of Galapagar, Spain, after a random tip, decided to scour Google Maps Street View images to see if he could spot the vegetable store named El Huerto de Manu that the fugitive was thought to own. But when the investigators found the store, he also saw Gamino standing in front of it. The officers then traced the store's financial documents and found that Gamino had also opened a restaurant in the town called Manu's Kitchen, where he's worked as a chef. The restaurant had since closed, but the officer was able to find a grainy image from TripAdvisor, which clearly shows Gamino in the kitchen. The images of the man in the front vegetable stand and the chef were unmistakably the same person. Now, thanks to a prominent scar on his chin, from a knife fight also helped identify him as well. "The photogram helped us to confirm the investigation we're developing in traditional ways," the deputy director of the Italian anti-mafia police told reporters. Gamino is now in custody in Spain and is facing extradition to Italy, where he will be imprisoned to serve out the rest of his life sentence. Finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. A 23-year-old man has been detained by police after stealing Pokemon trading game cards. Apparently, it's a booster pack from Walmart. Now, Eric Jerome Drake was arrested in Florida on December 29th after stealing over $600 worth of Pokemon cards. Now, the police department said that he had stolen over $354 worth of the TCG booster packs off the shelf. The suspect then opened them in the bathroom before walking out with the items in his pocket. Now, Mr. Drake was eventually arrested after going back to the same store a second time and taking $292 worth of Pokemon cards. However, this time, the Florida resident was confronted by a Walmart employee, was held until the police arrived. This is why Mr. Drake is our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Now, first of all, what have we said before, Mr. Drake? Don't take other people's things without their permission, right? Just like your mom used to tell you when you went to the store, keep your hands off. We look with our eyes, not our hands, right? Keep your hands to yourself. Keep your hands off other people's stuff. Well, Mr. Drake, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. You got away with it once, but you went back and you did it again. That's right. You returned to the scene of the crime because pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. Had you done it one time, you would have been fine. You got greedy, and now you got caught. That's why you got caught, Mr. Drake. Your own greed, returning to the scene of the crime, gets them every time. All right, thanks for watching today, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you enjoyed the show. Sorry about missing yesterday, but if you want to check out our video from Las Vegas, and now that I told you what's missing, that's my fault. I didn't get to Frank in time. And please go back and also watch the hearing for Lori Vallow. Don't take my word for it when you can watch it yourself. All right, we'll see you next time on Crime Talk.